Welcome to the St. Monica Mission Podcast. I'm your host, Scott C. I am so excited to have Father Jason with me for this episode. And we'll be talking about various odd things, some random thoughts of mine, later in the show. Now, I know that God is working in all of you that are listening because you are an answer to prayer just by listening to this crazy experiment. Father, I greatly appreciate you spending time with me, and I know you have been busy this week, coming back from vacation and transferring leadership of St. Patrick's to the Benedictines. Now, do I have that right? The Benedictines?
Dominicans.
I knew it was one of them, but I couldn't remember which one. All right. So I know that's been busy and you've been trying to tie up loose ends, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yep. Happy to be here, Scott.
So can I ask you, what is one thing that you've learned through this process of combining two parishes?
Well, the parishes were really merged before I got there. So I'm just helping to facilitate until the Dominicans fully take over, which is later this month. So I'm just there for a few more weeks to, but something I've learned is just, it's the different dynamics of two smaller parishes coming together, both with incredible volunteers and people willing to work and give their all for their parish. And it's really just been beautiful to see. It's the same as any parish, really, because like I said, they were merged already, but there's a few little inconsistencies here and there, but overall, just a lot of good people willing to do their best with everything. I feel it's been challenging to give everything here at St. Monica's, so I'm looking forward, in a sense, to give everything once again to St. Monica's.
Well, it's hard to keep focus when you're doing, when you're trying to bilocate.
Right, right.
So with all the different meetings and all the different personalities.
Plenty of that. Plenty of that. Sure, yes, absolutely.
I'm sure it's been a lot of fun.
Yes.
No, you and I have talked before. You're looking forward to kind of closing that out.
Yes.
All right. So the next is Bulletin Highlights.
Okay.
But I want to make sure everybody remembers, I'm asking everybody at the parish to volunteer 1 hour for one event once a year as a minimum. You can always do more, but at a minimum, do 1 hour for one event once a year. And I've talked about before about what you get out of volunteering isn't always what the same amount you put in. You can make friends, you get to meet new people, and you get new experiences. It's always a lot of fun. All right, let's go on to the bulletin. Keeping that in mind, there's a women's mini retreat coming up August 23rd. And it starts with the 8:15 Mass. And then it goes to the 9:15 to 11 o'clock in the Columbus Hall. And this year's theme is Finding Purpose in Prayer. Again, that's Saturday, August 23rd in the Columbus Hall after the 8:15 Mass. Now, I know it's the same day as Rock Directory, but this is in the morning.
That's in the morning.
So you can still come to Rock the Rectory. All right.
We're also going to have some server training that day.
So that's a lot of activity on Saturday.
That's going to be a busy Saturday.
Next is the ad for the parish marketplace.
Right. The St. Monica Marketplace. I'm pretty excited about that. One of our parishioners came up with the idea and has a design he crafted and put a few designs on shirts, on mugs, on all sorts of things. And I think it's a good way to get the St. Monica name out there. We've got Catholics, I'm sure, in our community that aren't necessarily participating, aren't necessarily part of the parish. And that really connects back, Scott, to what you said earlier about the fact of 1 hour, one event, once a year. That's beautiful and that's great and that's a start. But so many of the different organizations, events that we talk about, the important thing is community. And that's what we want, whether it's advertising St. Monica out in our larger Mishawaka community, but it's meant to draw people in so that there's a family bigger than their family, the family of God, the body of Christ that we're all part of. And so we can neglect some people sometimes or forget about some people and their needs. And that's, all of this is part of that.
Thanks, Father. It's a pretty cool site. We've already got a couple shirts picked out, a couple other things.
I've gone through it and seen various items, but I haven't exactly gone through and shopped yet. So.
Well, speaking of the wider community and reaching other people, I know you know about it, but Bishop's Road's annual lecture series.
Yes.
I've not attended. I was not aware, but I saw this and I'm going to definitely make sure I go. But Thursday, September 4th at St. Matthew's Cathedral in South Bend, there's a lecture by Professor Martin Creamers of Notre Dame to speak on the parable of the rich fool and its relevance to Catholic social teaching. There'll be small groups to discuss how to apply the teaching to everyday life. There's more information on the bulletin. I highly recommend you get. It talks about tickets. Get an RSVP by August 22nd. Because there again, it's on September 4th. There's a website that you can go to, but I'll let you get it from the bulletin.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. I've never been to one of those yet either.
Oh, good. I don't feel bad then. All right. Well, in case we've mentioned the Rock Directory, but let's back up 1 week. The 16th is the race, mm-hmm. the 5K Faithful Race or Family Walk.
Yep. Either one.
I'm going to be doing the family walk with my Nordic Sticks. So I encourage everybody to come out and walk or run. You can sign up online. There's posters everywhere, QR codes everywhere. So I just want to highlight that again. Rock Directory, over 21 and over.
Yep.
Tonight on the 23rd. Sorry. And then Parish Festival on the 24th after the 10:30 Mass. So there's opportunities to volunteer there, set up, serving, cooking, same thing with the Rock Directory. We're going to have a couple booths there for Knights of Columbus. The podcast will have a spot. There'll be other things. I know CGS will have a spot. There's a couple other places that have a spot. So come out and see what's going on at the Parish Festival. Good food, good fellowship, and there's even bingo. But, Father, the one thing I didn't spend much time talking about is the novena. Could you comment on the novena and the Mass on St. Monica's feast day on the 27th?
The novena begins on the 19th, and it goes through her feast day, the 27th. And during that time, there's prayer in the evening. Most evenings, we'll be doing evening prayer, which is some additional prayer this year for those who come. Some like it a little quick, some like a little more substantial. So we get a mix of a lot of people. So there might be some nights where we recite more of it, some nights where it will be chanted a little bit. I think we're fairly familiar with that now as a parish, some of that chanting, at least for evening prayer, vespers. And so we'll do that the same time every night, 6 o'clock. On the 27th, we have a Mass that evening. For those who have fallen away from the faith. And we had that here last year. The diocese asked us to have that, host that, and we are hosting it again. St. Monica, just such a beautiful patroness for that. She knew what it was to have her son, her family, really, fall away from the faith. And through vigilant prayer, she just continued to pray and pray and pray. And through her witness, through that, it brought her family back, eventually brought Augustine, St. Augustine, the great St. Augustine, along with Thomas Aquinas, the two of them, two great pillars of academia and writing and so much that we have from both of them, and many, many others in the church, but those two kind of stand out many times. So, but Augustine, maybe a little bit more palatable, readable for some of us. We can understand his challenges and his journey because many of us face challenges during our faith walk with Christ. And so that Mass that evening will be for family members that have fallen away or are no longer practicing. We'll be doing that throughout the novena. That's part of our prayers. But on that night especially, we'll celebrate Mass. And at the end of Mass, we're going to pray that prayer as well. So that will cap our novena. Throughout those days.
That sounds very good. I plan on attending for sure. I did some of that last year with the novena, and that was very meaningful. Mm-hmm. On to the ministry moment. So we've got some upcoming registrations for fall ministries. Religious Ed and CGS, which is Catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Yep.
Their registration is coming up, I think, like next week, because it starts like September 7th, I think I was told.
Right.
It's the first Sunday after Labor Day, I believe.
Yep.
Father, I want to ask you, why do we do these? Why do we do Religious Ed and why do we do the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd? You know, is it only to check the box on an application for confirmation?
Probably not. Faith formation is something that is constant throughout our lives. The more we learn, the more we realize there's so much more for us to still grow in wisdom and learn. But our children, if we don't impart the faith to them at a young age, then they might not have an interest. They won't see the value in it as they get older. That's why it's so important to go as a family to church. This is part of that. Little ones, whether it's Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, when you're talking 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, whether it's more religious ed students that still use some of the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd in 1st and 2nd grade, that imparting of the faith and that teaching of, as they do in catechesis, teach them the Good Shepherd and show them a design of a shepherd pen with sheep in it. And they can touch that and feel that and see a Jesus figurine and move him around and move the sheep around. That puts it into a context that they can understand that here's Jesus, here's the pen, the gate, the sheepfold, and a wolf is outside and he can't get in. And to really teach that to a young person, that Jesus will protect them, that Jesus is with them. That's something that words alone in a homily and something that they might hear later in life isn't going to hit them at an emotional level, a spiritual level, as it does when they are little. And so that's why this catechesis and teaching of our youth is so important. It's the responsibility that we all have, parents especially, as the primary educators of their children in the faith. And so parents instruct their children, yes, at home, teach them how to pray, but I don't think any parent would say they can do it all themselves with the busy lives that we all live now between work, taking care of things at home. By the time kids get home from school, even at a young age, now there's clubs and other things, activities, sports, and just kids maybe wanting to still get outside and play as we did when we were younger. It's hard to have much time to teach them the fullness of our faith. And so these are ways that we assist in that growth as the parish, the church, has that responsibility shared with parents to impart the faith to children so that they are formed and ready and continue in their walk with Christ throughout their life.
Now, does every church in the area have Catechesis of the Good Shepherd?
Not every church in the area has catechesis. So we have it. St. Joe has it. I know that there's a few others that have it nearby and have catechists. We're looking to train another catechist or two. We'll cover the expenses for that. It's just such an important endeavor to teach our children, such an important mission that we have, that I can't emphasize enough how important that is for the future. And right now, there's so many that are so excited about the Catholic faith. If you listen to the news at all, you hear about converts and Christians that are coming to the Catholic faith and non-Christians that are coming to the Catholic faith. They see the truth. They see how beautiful it is. Truth, beauty, goodness. And they seek that out. And they don't find it anywhere else. They're finding it in the faith. Might not always like everything about the truth of the faith. Might not like every law, if you will. But when you see the reason for it and learn the faith, you learn, okay, that's there for a reason. I might not like it, but it's for my benefit. It's for my growth as I walk with our Lord. That's for me to help me. And it's in place to help protect me and keep me close to Jesus.
So I know that there's special training for the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Yep.
To teach that. But is there's training for the regular religious ed?
We want to make sure that our religious educators are formed in the faith, practicing the faith. We're not going to put someone in there to teach children the faith who isn't going to Mass or Holy Days, isn't ever going to confession. So we put in people that we know regularly practice their faith, and not only practice their faith in attending Mass and such, but also involved in the church or ready to be involved in the church in other ways.
I saw in the bulletin that there are catechesis needed, mm-hmm. or volunteers needed, and there were some different roles that were listed. But that takes place on Sundays, right?
On Sundays.
So there's like an hour.
Yep.
I'm just pushing that hour. Just
1 hour. It would be a little more than once a year. Yeah. Is that community,
yep.
that we become part of.
We're building it up. And actually, the young ones are the, you know, the future of the church.
Right.
So we need to pass on and make sure that they hear the truth and hear it, yep. from us, not necessarily from their friends or from the media.
And religious ed is really every other week. So I know that most of us can give God a little bit more than 1 hour a week for Mass, and can give him another hour maybe for the future of our church once every 2 weeks.
So I'm just going to ask everybody to consider, you know, let God work in your heart.
Pray about it.
Pray about it, right. And I'll be praying for the whole parish, that the Holy, yep. Spirit strikes a fire in some people.
Yep.
So the other thing that's coming that we haven't made technically public yet, so this will be the first time we mention it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get Mark Havard on, mm-hmm. next to go in depth, but I'd like for you to kind of talk about the new program for men. Mm-hmm. It's called That Man Is You. It starts September 6th. Mm-hmm. So why are we program here?
That Man Is You is a Catholic formation. It helps men. It builds that community once again. Some of our men that we're already meeting, as well as some of our younger men that we're already meeting, both were presented with this program and both found in it. And we'll see how this first part of it goes, but I have a feeling that the men that have been part of small groups to this point are going to see real value in this, because this program challenges them to continue to support each other, but support each other so that they can then lead their families in the faith. And the beautiful thing about That Man Is You is it really is a challenge to leadership. Doesn't matter if someone's an introvert or an extrovert. If they're involved in a lot of different ministries in the parish, or maybe just one ministry thus far, or maybe just small groups at this point, this will provide the resources, both the support network of the men, as well as the material they discuss and share and go over in their meetings, to help everyone, to instill and remind them that they are the faith leaders within their families. That some of us may have had mom teaching us certain prayers when we were younger. If you go back historically and look at the Jewish community, it was always the father. The father was the one who formed his children in the faith. He was the one that led the family, whether they practiced or didn't. And so when we look at different families and we see, well, why aren't children, grown children, young adult men and women, practicing the faith? Sometimes it was, what was the role of the father? And some of the fathers went along and were supportive, but maybe they skipped Mass when it came to a vacation. Maybe they skipped prayer by choice. They were at home, they were in the house, and they weren't bad men. They might have been just tired from working a 50 to 60 hour week. But they were home and their kids looked at that. And so all of us fall short, but what's important is that we learn from it. And we really have to mess up many times in order to leave a lasting mark on children. If we strive to faithfulness, our children see that. Our children admire that, and our children esteem to that, because they see that's somebody who walks with God. I want that for myself. I want that for my family. And that's what I really believe is the value in this, that man is you. It, yes, it's for these men in their own walk with Christ, but the fruits of it will blossom in their families.
Thank you, Father. That was very insightful. I appreciate you talking about it.
Mark, I think, knows more of the details. He's gone through it thus far, so he's going to be able to flesh out.
Yep, and he'll be coming up on the next episode.
Okay.
So we'll go into details for that. Okay, on to the conversation portion of the podcast. I don't know, Father, if you're willing, but I was wondering if you would like to talk a little bit, maybe two or three highlights of your Alaska trip.
Oh, my Alaska trip. It was one of my favorite trips. It's still so fresh. It was just a few weeks ago. I'll just say that Alaska is a place that, to appreciate at least the vastness, the size of it, you have to go. You have to experience it. A place that's 2.5 times the size of Texas, the southern half of the state, of the mainland part of the state, is nothing but wilderness, nothing but trees, many pine trees, but there actually were some dogwood trees up there as well. Cottonwood, whatever they were, there was cotton floating around, the pollen. But wilderness covering mountains, at least to a certain height, there's no shortage of lumber up there. I mean, and that's like their third biggest industry, I think, is lumber, maybe. But the whole bottom part of the state, I mean, there's only 1 million people in the whole state, so, or less than 1 million. So think of the whole city of Indianapolis up in Alaska, the entire state spread out, but that's really only 4 or 5 cities. And we were blessed on my trip. I got to see the sights as well as the animals the very first week, because there was almost no, the only rain was at night, maybe once, if that. And the weather was nice and warm, so the animals were out. We saw bear, we saw caribou, we saw moose a couple times. We saw seals, sea lions, sea otters. We saw a pod of orcas. We saw humpback whales coming up to feed. We saw another whale breach. We saw porpoises and other unique types of birds. I guess as far as a couple highlights from the trip, it would be, I had never whitewater rafted, so I did that for the first time, including choosing in a slow spot in the rapids to jump into the glacier-fed river. But I had a bodysuit on. Tough for people to believe this, but the thermal bodysuit, after being splashed in the front of the boat, really did not notice the coldness of the water really at all. I could tell that it was cold on the outside of the suit, but it was not like the stark cold against your skin or something. So, because I was covered. But I think seeing so many different types of animals as well, just nature and beauty. And I like big landscapes. So I'm much more of a mountain person than a beach person. Well, there you have both. I mean, a different type of beach when you're going along the shoreline. But the mountains are magnificent and massive and just overall just gorgeous. And I would do the land portion again for sure. I would do an Alaskan visit for that for sure. It's very beautiful and it's otherworldly.
So did you get some much deserved rest?
I did get some rest. This was really, other than pilgrimages that I have led to various places, this was the first longer than a week vacation that I have had since I've been ordained. So over 17 years ago. So to have a almost 3 week vacation was very nice. And I thank the parish for allowing me to do that.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad you're safely back.
Yes.
And I'm glad that hopefully that will keep you energized for starting back up in the fall.
I think it will.
Good. So, Father, is there anything else you'd like to talk about or comment on while you're here? Because the mic is yours. So whatever, whatever you want, while I've got you, whatever you want to say to, like I said, we'll post this next week. So anything you want to say.
It's hard to find one or two ministries or one or two things to pinpoint. Right now, I would just encourage people, just consider maybe just come to Rock the Rectory. It's an evening. If you're an adult, if you're over 21, come to Rock the Rectory, social event. There's nobody has to be part of any group here or there. Just to drink and socialize. One or two people will dance, but that's literally, dancing is not expected by anyone. The vast majority will not be dancing. I promise you that. So just come, enjoy some music and the festival the next day, especially if you're a family, if you have any children, come join us. But even without that, we have our bake-off. We have other events that are going on. Bingo, as Scott said. But just maybe look, and you can certainly contact the office at any time. Just see what ministries might suit you. Ways that you can serve, ways that you can help. We have anything from helping to sacristan and set the altar. Just consider if you don't want to serve in a ministry at Mass, such as ushering or reading, then maybe it's something else like helping out with the festival, or in future years, maybe if not this year, helping out with the race that we have this weekend. And so all sorts of different opportunities. And like I said, we've got Rotary Society. We've got moms group that meets, some moms that, young moms with children. We got some other ladies that get together and meet, and maybe they do some reading and go over books that they've, and they discuss that. We've got different men's groups, young men, maybe not quite as young men, also meeting, but just sharing the faith and going through a book here or there, more just faith formation and challenging and seeing how they can best serve the parish. And of course, with that man is you is one of those. So that'll be getting started. We have Bible studies at different times throughout the year. Consider looking into that. There's just so much, and it really is hard to pinpoint. We're part of a school community, Mishawaka Catholic. So there's various ways to volunteer. You don't have to be in the school. If you are a parent in the school, yes, we want you to volunteer, get involved and participate and help your children and other children with different activities. Sign up to assist with coaching one of the sports. Sign up to help with one of the events that the school has, even if it's just serving food. I think it's just key in a church community to put ourselves out there to serve. We meet people, we realize that maybe some of the challenges, maybe some of the trials that we go through are very similar to the trials and faith journeys that other people have. You're not the only one who maybe had fell away from the faith a bit and came back after college. You're not the only one who maybe is struggling to feel some emotion with your faith right now. There are others who are walking that journey as well. So the beautiful thing about a church is you have others who experience loss, who experience suffering, who experience maybe a little bit of feeling like things are hopeless, or for a moment or two, or maybe longer than that. And they battle through that, but it's with prayer, it's with coming back to Jesus in the Eucharist. But there's a real faith walk component with others. There's so many times in Scripture where someone else walked with someone, where the disciples brought people to Jesus, where the man helped the man at the side of the road who had been attacked by robbers. There's a faith with others component that we walk with them. So I would just invite everybody. I think that 1 hour, one event once a year, but that's the start. And after that start, I don't think you'll be disappointed. The beautiful thing about it is that's the launching point. And then you're kind of hooked and you want to be part of so much more, whether that's the Knights of Columbus, whether that's something to do with our school, whatever it might be. There's opportunities. There's something for everyone. Even our young adults, they get involved in nearby parishes that might have a little bit bigger young adults that they pull in things. But we're helping with that too and starting to develop that a little bit more as well. So there really is something for everyone.
Thank you, Father. And yeah, when you start to list everything, there's quite a bit going on at St. Monica's.
Yeah, and I didn't even hit half of it.
So it is about community. It's about doing life. With other people. I mean, I know in our life, my life specifically,
yeah,
to do life with somebody else is a lot easier than trying to have all the answers yourself.
Yeah, and I guess one more thing that I'm thinking of is, remember, this is how the church used to be. The church used to be the place of community. That's why we have the beautiful churches that we have today. That's why they were built with in such beauty, is because that was the center of the community. Mm. Now, some of the centers of our community with communication is sometimes our phones, or we run into parents at sporting events and our kids are on the same club teams, which isn't a bad thing. But it can be if we forget that the foundational level of where community should be is with our Lord. And if Jesus, God, is not part of any of those other things, or not even mentioned or shared or talked about, then what happens is he gradually gets pushed a little bit to the back burner, or pushed to a certain time on Sunday when we go to church. And then he's not the place, the foundation for our relationships, be they family, be they the community. And that has consequences that do last. And that's why we see, I think, an elevated level of suffering. But definitely in our world now, we see the elevated levels of loneliness, depression. Well, that doesn't happen if you know where a community is. And the church is the easiest place, in my opinion, to find community.
Well, thank you for those thoughts, Father.
Welcome.
Okay, now we've come to the end of the episode. So as always, I remind everyone that St. Monica herself has said, and I know it to be true, nothing is far from God. God bless.
Amen.